the noble wives of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First, in this ayat of the Quran Sharif. So on the one side, their very, very great rank has been first and foremost highlighted. Allah Ta'ala addresses them and says, Ya Nisa an Nabiyyi lastunna ka ahadim minan Nisa. And all the wives of the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, you are not like ordinary woman. Meaning being privileged to be in the household of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is something that puts you at a very high level. So obviously every Sahabi, as we mentioned, is on an extremely high level. Every Sahabiya is on an extremely high level. But then from that high level, even higher, are various Sahaba, like the Khulafa'i Rashideen. They have the greatest rank in the Ummah. In that sequence, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, the highest rank after the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and then Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, and so on. So like they have the highest rank among the Sahaba, others also have a higher rank compared to the general Sahaba. The Azwaj Mutahharat, the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the mothers of the Ummah, they have a very special rank as well. And Allah Ta'ala is addressing them and saying to them that you are not like ordinary woman. In other words, you are the example for the Ummah. And Allah is addressing them, but the message is for the Ummah. For the woman of the Ummah, for the Ummah at large, like many ayat of the Quran Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam addresses the Sahaba, addresses Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but the message is for the Ummah. أُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is being addressed. This is an imperative, it's a command. He is being directly addressed. أُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ The Quran that is being revealed upon you, recite it. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ Establish salah. Now who can compare one fraction to the extent of the tilawat of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Who can compare one fraction to the extent of the way that he established salah? But Allah Ta'ala is addressing him to give us the message that I am addressing my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and commanding him. So what do you, where do you fall in this? How much you have to make an effort? Where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mashallah, we can't even imagine the extent of tilawat. And this is indeed another subject on its own, but there's something to refresh this message and lesson all the time, that we need to have tilawat forever alive in our homes. This is coming in the ayat that we are starting to discuss also. But in any case, this aspect of tilawat, we want barakat in our homes, we want happiness in our homes, we want that mahabba, we want that unity, we want all the good things to happen in our homes. But often, either it is devoid of tilawat or hardly anything. Now without tilawat of the Quran Sharif, the barakat of Quran Sharif being alive in the homes, it's very, very far-fetched to wish for all these great things. So this must be part of our daily routine, and everybody in the home, we should encourage one and all, that there must be tilawat. The home cannot be deprived of this. There's indeed a great loss that a day has passed in the home and no Quran was recited. What not happened in that home? What not was read, what not was heard, what not was spoken, and so many things, we engaged in all kinds of other work and whatever else. But if that home was deprived of tilawat, what a loss. The problem is, unfortunately, we don't realize the loss that has taken place. Like for example, Allah save us, Allah protect us, that something happened and as a result, some very valuable item, something in the home, it fell, broke, something very precious, broke into small pieces, too late to do anything about it, has to be just thrown away now. What a loss we regard it as. Some valuable thing went missing, can't find it, head and tail, then they'll probably, if they can't figure out why and how it went missing, blame the jinnat also, but you'll feel a sense of loss. Because if you can't find anything, then finally the jinnat will be the ones responsible for it. So we'll blame somebody or the other, but that sense of loss, that deep regret will be there. What a loss. Imagine the whole day goes past, the night has gone past, No tilawat took place in the home sometimes. No sense of loss. No feeling of regret, remorse. What happened? The whole day went past like this. So in any case, that's another very important subject. We should have tilawat in our homes daily. But in this ayat of the Quran Sharif, like many ayat, Allah Ta'ala addresses Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the lesson is for the ummah. The lesson is that if I'm addressing my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how much more important this is for you, or the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ. Allah Ta'ala addresses Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you commit shirk, all your a'mal will become completely null and void. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ma'soom. There was no chance of any sin also. Let alone shirk. But Allah addresses him to give us the message, to give the ummah the message, that look, these are things never to go anywhere close to. So likewise in this ayat, Allah is addressing the azwaja mutahharat, but the lesson is for the whole ummah. Allah says to them, Ya nisa an nabiyyi lastunna ka ahadin minan nisa in ittaqaytum. That what is going to nevertheless keep you at a level that is very close to Allah Ta'ala? That is the message for every lady, every man, every young person, every old person, every single ummati of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The lesson in ittaqaytun. If you adopt taqwa, taqwa is what's going to be a means of honor, of respect, of greatness, of closeness to Allah Ta'ala, a means of drawing Allah Ta'ala's help, a means of all the things that we desire. Now, in dunya, the trend of dunya is that if we want respect, we want to be respected by people, then now we have to do what will impress people. Maybe we also have to dress in a way that people will now feel this person is very stylish. Maybe we'll have to do things that people, it stands out among people. Maybe the kind of brand labels that we have, that might attract people's attention and that might make us stand out and people will look at us in some admiration or some awe. This person, subhanallah, this person has got a very, very expensive brand label. All these things are just superficial. They are of no significance whatsoever. If somebody makes some positive comment about it, true to our face, but behind us, they often sometimes are making some negative comment about it. Sometimes they say, look at this person, wants to show off now. We all know that she got something like this. We also got, but we don't have to bring it. So they'll have something to say behind us. These things don't bring any respect to anybody. It's not meant to say that if Allah has blessed somebody with some halal ni'mat, then it is not permissible to use it. But this is not the basis for it. This is not the motivation and intention behind something that I must be gaining some kind of, I must look good in the eyes of people. People must look up at me with respect because I possess certain things. I possess certain material items, etc. That doesn't bring anything. What brings it? What Allah has mentioned in this ayat of the Quran Sharif. In ittaqaytun. If you adopt taqwa. And what is taqwa? In simple terms, the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. Fulfilling the do's, refraining from the don'ts. This is what brings honor in the court of Allah Ta'ala. And when Allah Ta'ala grants somebody honor, then in the eyes of people also there'll be honor. So this is the honor. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Allah Ta'ala says the most honorable among you, the most respected among you, the people with greatest virtue among you, the people of taqwa, those who have greatest taqwa. So this is the first aspect. In ittaqaytun. Now taqwa, unfortunately sometimes, there's a very confined understanding of taqwa. What is the meaning of taqwa? Refraining from sins. Which sins? So well, certain major sins, which alhamdulillah, we, with the tawfiq of Allah Ta'ala, we stay away from. So now that's where it gets confined to. That taqwa must not gamble, must not drink, must not commit theft, must not commit murder, must not commit various other major crimes, major sins. Alhamdulillah, that is Allah Ta'ala's tawfiq. If Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with the ability to refrain from all these major sins, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. That's something to make great amount of shukr for. But just as these are major sins, so likewise, ghibat is a major sin also. Taqwa requires we must stay away from ghibat. Now that is also a necessary aspect, very, very fundamental. Now we have to reflect that to what extent is taqwa in my life Am I safe from ghibat? How often in the course of the day, ghibat is like part of the fashion. Wherever two, three people get together, some ghibat happens. And that ghibat is described in the Quran Sharif in such a way that it's meant to create the highest level of disgust in a person for that action. That أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. Allah Ta'ala says, do you like, anybody likes to eat the flesh of their dead brother? Now, one is eating human flesh. If anybody just has to just mention that, suggest it to somebody, they'll feel nauseous. Then human flesh, the flesh of a dead person, it's meant to create such a nauseous, such a disgusting feeling. Allah Ta'ala says, ghibat is like that. It's meant to create such a disgust, such an abhorrent feeling. Now that's part of taqwa, to refrain from ghibat. Taqwa requires, must guard the gaze. Not to look at what Allah Ta'ala is displeased with. Once upon a time, that was something, maybe a person left the house, went out somewhere, now the person didn't guard the gaze. But nowadays in every person's hand, every person's pocket, every person's bag, there's a device called a smartphone, and this is the smart tool of shaitan. It's a very, very useful device. It's a very beneficial item, but it's a two-edged sword. And if the person uses it correctly, well and good. But otherwise, as beneficial as sometimes something is, it's equally dangerous and sometimes more dangerous. The very sharp knife with which the person makes qurbani of an ox. So now that's not an ordinary knife. It's not a knife that now you can just handle very casually. And it's not a knife that's ever given in the hand, let alone of a child, of even a grown-up youngster, somebody who's now still maybe 12, 13. Nobody's just going to hand that kind of knife to him. That knife can do such a splendid job. It can slaughter that ox and help to fulfill such a great ibadat of qurbani. But if it's handled casually, then it can cause death. And people, unfortunately, there have been major injuries because in that one moment, there was somebody wasn't careful enough and somebody else got hurt very badly. Somebody's fingers got cut off. Somebody, whatnot happened. Because just as this is very useful, it is very, very dangerous if it is not used correctly. Now that has become the smartphone. Two-edged sword of a very high level, meaning the benefit can be very great also if it's used correctly. But if it is misused, it is abused, then Allah forbid the harm that can come from it and has been coming from it. And it has caused so much of havoc in so many homes, so many people's lives, in so many things. It has caused so much of havoc that perhaps there isn't any other single item that can boast having caused so much of havoc. That one item can cause so much havoc, very set. Wallahu alam, if there's something else that can boast this. It's a terrible boast. But shaitan will boast about it. That shaitan used this. This was a special hook of shaitan. And with this one hook, Allah forbid how many people and how many families and how many communities he has hooked. So Allah Ta'ala save us from this. This now taqwa requires that we have to be very conscious about how we are using this device, how we are using this aspect of this very, very dangerous tool. This is something to now be conscious about and to be concerned about. One is, for example, even if a person is not indulging in anything sinful, anything haram, but have you taken time to see what's the screen time? In an average day, how much of time is being spent on this device? Now that time is our capital. The time is our capital, and every moment that goes is a moment of life gone. And that is never going to come back. There's no way of salvaging that. Now, we all are insan, we need time to relax, we need time to take some breather. But all the ages that have passed, people were relaxing also. They were taking a breather and they were more relaxed than us. What we have thought has become relaxation has become the problem. That's not relaxing anybody. That is causing greater problems in their mind, in their lives. This relaxation has created distance. It's distanced people who are closest. Both everybody is sitting with their own phone and sitting within meters of each other or centimeters of each other, and they are worlds apart. Now this has become the situation because of how. So now this is a very crucial thing to, not only is just the time that goes in it, hours. Many people sometimes ask for some advice, and when they are questioned about, okay, what's the screen time? Somebody says 2.5 hours, some 3 hours, 4 hours, and even 5 hours. And unfortunately, it's not isolated. It's common. 4 or 5 hours gone in screen time. But often, unfortunately, the same person will ask how much of time, tilawat time, 0 time. Durood Sharif time, 0 time. Istighfar time, 0 time. And time for ibadah, for tilawat, for ta'aleem, hardly anything or nothing. So any case, taqwa goes across the board in all these things. How we use our tongue, how we use our eyes, our ears, what we engage our heart in deliberately. Also part of taqwa. To keep our hearts clean of malice, of jealousy, of pride. All this is the dictates of taqwa. These are major sins, these are major impurities in the heart. Just as if there's some dirt, let alone impurity, there's just something got soiled on the clothing. Nobody feels comfortable about it. Something spilled, some tea, one drop of something. It's not napak, it's not impure. But then too, cleanliness requires clean it out first. And nobody wants to walk around with it. So now that is clean, it's not impure, but it's not clean in the sense that it's now created something, soiled it. So we want to clean it, we want to make sure it's out. What about the impurities in the heart? The impurities of jealousy, of pride, of malice, of looking down upon others, of thinking great about ourselves, of so many other maladies of the heart. Taqwa requires that this too must be attended to. This too must be cleansed. The heart must be cleansed. So taqwa is a very broad aspect. It's not confined to few things. Alhamdulillah, those few things that are in our lives, that too is Allah's ni'mat. We are fulfilling our salah, alhamdulillah. We are making some tilawat, excellent. Other amal, Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq for even more. We are staying away from various major sins, that too is Allah Ta'ala's great blessing and bounty. But taqwa goes way beyond that. It's not confined to that. So in any case, Allah Ta'ala says, إِنِ اتَّقَيْتُنَّ فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٍ وَقُلْنَ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. As mentioned right at the beginning, the address is to the Azwaj Mutahharat, to the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, and the message is for the Ummah. The message is for others. This is one old saying, the Gujarati saying, which translates as something more or less as this, that sometimes the person is, he's scolding his wife, but he's making his daughter-in-law here. So now he wants to get the message, but now out of respect, so he's not saying it directly to the daughter-in-law, but he's scolding his wife about it. He's scolding her mother-in-law. So the mother-in-law is now catching it, but the message is for the daughter-in-law. The common story, here it is not on that kind of level. Here it is to highlight the importance of the message. That this is such an important aspect, that even the purest of people are being addressed with it. So what about those who will come later in time? What those who will come 15 centuries later? If these were the purest of women of the Ummah, and they are being addressed in this way, despite being on such a high level of purity and chastity, what about those who will come 15 centuries later? Those who will come even later than that? So this is the message and the manner of the message that is being put forward. So Allah Ta'ala is addressing them and saying, فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ. Do not speak in alluring tones. You need to, sometimes out of necessity, person has to, for example now, whatever, needs to say something to someone out of necessity who's not a mahram. It might be out of some necessity in the home, it might be elsewhere, but out of necessity something has to be said. The Quran Sharif is even directing about what kind of tone should be adopted. فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ. And why? Now who knows insan better than the creator of insan? The creator Allah Rabbul Izzat knows who's this creation, who he created and how he created. Allah knows best. Allah Ta'ala is saying, فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَدٍ, that there are many insan with disease in their hearts. And if this tone is not controlled correctly, and it is not, the tone is not regulated, that is not an alluring tone, it's not a deliberate, or rather it's deliberately made unattractive. If that is not done, then people with disease in their hearts will start, things will start stirring in their hearts. Allah is saying in the Quran Sharif and addressing the Azwaj-e Mutahharat. Now this is bringing to light the very high level of haya and modesty and shame that the Quran Sharif is embedding in every single person, in every woman, and in every man, and in everyone, that look, what is the height of haya that the Quran Sharif is teaching? Because haya is a fundamental aspect of iman. Innal haya'a minal iman. Haya is from iman itself. Iman and haya exist together. And if one of them leave, the other goes also. If there's no dot of haya left, it's very soon iman will go. It's not possible that iman will remain long then. So this is that haya that is being taught. فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَا بِالْقَوْلِ, in the most purest of eras, in the most purest of times, when there was nothing around that would cause any kind of incitement of any sort. And everybody was on a very high level of consciousness, very high level of taqwa. And we can't imagine the purity of that zamana at that time. We can't imagine the qualities of the people of that time. And Allah is addressing them for us. So what can we talk about our times? What can we talk about our situations? How much we have to latch onto these words of the Quran Sharif, these commands of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So in any case, Allah Ta'ala says, فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ وَقُلْنَا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. And when you speak, speak that which is correct, which is good, ma'roof, which is something that is allowed in Sharia, something that will bring the closeness of Allah Ta'ala. So one is to speak something that is impermissible, that is obviously impermissible. There is no question about indulging in such talk. But then even permissible talk, there are things that are limits to everything, and then how something is said also. Sometimes there's something correct said, but this thing that was said, the correct aspect was said, but was said in an incorrect manner. That too is not the way it should be. What is to be said, number one, must be correct. You say the correct thing. Number two, in the correct way. And number three, with the correct intention. When these three things are in place, what is correct that is being said, sahi baat, sahi tariqe se, in the correct manner, or sahi niyat ke saad. These are the words of Allama Shabir Ahmad Usmani rahimahullah, very great mufassir, muhaddith, and a very, very great personality in the tafsir of one of the ayat of the Quran Sharif. This is the words that he has mentioned. And this is how he has expressed it. Sahi baat, sahi tariqe se, sahi niyat ke saath, be asar nahi jati. And you're saying the right thing in the right manner. Now sometimes it might be even our own children. What we're saying is right. We're reprimanding them for something that they need to be corrected on. But the manner in which it is said may sometimes make the child despondent. The manner in which it is said may sometimes make the child obstinate. Because the same thing when it goes on and on in that manner, in that very abrasive way, in that very, very harsh manner, correction must happen. And sometimes a correction requires a reprimand also. And whatever is necessary will have to be done. But there's a way about everything. Nowadays, unfortunately, in every level, people's capacities have become very, very much diminished compared to what it was. Any person and any, illa mashallah, they are the exceptions wherever they are, but the general level of the ability to take things, to take any pressure, for example, to be able to tolerate, to be able to get over things quickly, to be able to take things upon oneself and keep things calm, that general capacity that was there once upon a time, meaning in the common people, let alone in the people who had people of high caliber and so on. Talking about the common people, in any household, anywhere, there was a general capacity of sabr, of tolerance, of the capacity to take on challenges, the capacity to be able to bear whatever comes. That capacity was on another level. And now the general capacity is gone. The himmat and courage of people is gone, very much diminished compared to what it was once upon a time. Once upon a time, we all probably, well, okay, maybe those who are past their 40s or so, so they would have gone to maktab, they would have gone to madrasa, whatever. What used to be the norm at that time? The child didn't know the work. Even parents said, if the child doesn't know the work, sort him out. So somebody's child went for hims, whatever. The last thing he wanted the parents to know is that he caught it in madrasa today. Because there's a good chance he'll catch it at home also. And if he caught it in madrasa, he was fine with it too. It didn't matter. Meaning, obviously, that hiding was hiding. But it didn't really become an issue for anybody. He too went smiling the next day to madrasa. He didn't create any resentment in his heart for his ustad. He had the capacity to understand that this is my benefit. Nowadays, in any madrasa, you'll find that the ustads are over and over again emphasized upon. This hiding matter is all history. Why? The capacity let alone in the child, even in the parents, to know that the child got one shot, two is too much. That becomes like a bullet shot for many. So now, the whole capacity has gone so low. Now when this capacity is so low, and some child is now repeatedly spoken to, reprimanded in an ongoing harsh manner, this becomes a very major problem. That child, many times they start, Allah forbid, sometimes we have occasion to talk to some, when they want to discuss some of the issues, now they're playing with suicidal thoughts in their mind, what not is going on. And then sometimes to just sort of now, some kind of escape. So now they're doing other things behind their parents' back as an escape from whatever is happening all the time. So Allah Ta'ala give us the understanding. So this is, فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَا بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٍ وَقُلْنَا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنْ. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala says, and addresses the woman in particular, the Azwaj Mutahharat are primarily addressed, but the message is for the Ummah. Allah says, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنْ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَةِ الْأُولَى. Allah says, remain within your homes. And don't make a display of yourself like the jahiliyat of previous times, the first jahiliyah. Now, this aspect of remaining within the home is the sanctuary. The home is the place of safety. So, meaning if there's a need, then the need is a need. Person will emerge from the home for the need, but in the way that Sharia has allowed for that. But other than that, then وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنْ. So meaning wherever the sanctuary will be, you remain within the sanctuary. Why? Now, we are approaching that time of the year where they call it in that way of life, they call it the silly season. It got nothing to do with us, but they call it the silly season. It's such an ajeeb thing that it is their time to now, so to say, celebrate. So they call it the silly season. Now, you call anybody silly, they'll feel offended. And they take pride in calling this the silly season. What they are saying about themselves is that this time we take a break. We take a break from work. We take a break from occupations. We also take a break from our intelligence. We put it aside, become silly now, and behave in a silly manner, behave without intelligence. Everything is free for all. Now in the midst of all these people who have taken a break from their intelligence, and now whichever areas and whichever places are now filled with such people, now we deliberately go and put ourselves in the middle of such kind of environments. Our children are now taken in such environments. What's going to be the impact? They're behaving all sometimes, as the Quran Sharif says, in hum illa kal an'am bal hum adal. They are like animals, rather worse than animals. And now we're exposing our children to all this kind of environment. We're getting exposed to it. It's impacting on our hearts, impacting our children. What gets left of that fervor of iman? What gets left of that spirit of taqwa? What gets left of all the zeal to now practice on deen? It dies off. Many a person after the so-called holiday time, person says, I was mashallah making one para tilawat every day. I was making so much of durood sharif, istighfar. I was doing this, that and the other. Now I don't know, I'm not doing anything. I can't seem to get to do anything. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. So what happened? You went anywhere. Yes, you went on a holiday. So you know what happened then. You know where you went. You know what you did. You know how you used your eyes. You know what kind of, how you were talking and what you were talking about. You know what you were exposing yourself to. So you're saying you don't know what happened. You know what happened. That killed everything. Now it's going to be a restart. You're going to have to now, like that baby steps, then now you have to restart. So in any case, the point is that this is the safety. Allah Ta'ala has given us, Allah Ta'ala is our creator. Allah Ta'ala has the greatest welfare and goodness for his creation. Allah Ta'ala wants the goodness for every person. If Allah has given us these commands for our safety. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنْ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْتَ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَةِ الْأُولَىٰ وَأَقِمْنَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتِينَ الزَّكَاةَ وَأَطِعْنَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَقِمْنَ الصَّلَاةَ, establish salah. Throughout the Quran Sharif, the command is about establishing salah. Nowhere in the Quran Sharif is about just performing salah, making salah, except one place. The one place in the Quran Sharif where it is about just mentioned as that perform salah is on the occasion of Salatul Khawf. And in the Salatul Khawf is a very specific aspect. There's no time for the details of it. But in the midst of war, in the midst of war, and in particular with regards to the Sahaba Ikram, that everyone was desirous to make their salah behind Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are in the jama'ah and as the muqtadis of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam personally. So now it was like a very difficult thing that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is present. We are right here and we have to perform our salah separately. They couldn't, it was very difficult on them. So Allah Ta'ala revealed for them a specific method where the salah must take place on time also. It's in the midst of war and how it will happen. So that everybody gets to perform their salah behind Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A very specific description about it. But that's not the point that we want to discuss now. In this ayat Allah Ta'ala says, فَلْيُسَلُّوا مَعَكْ. The sahaba should then just perform their salah with you. Here the word of iqamat doesn't come. Establishing salah. Now everywhere else in the Quran Sharif is establishing salah. And on this one occasion, this is missing. Why? So the Mufassirin explain that this is such an occasion. Now in our context, like bullets are flying all the time. Arrows were flying at that time. There was any chance of the enemy just attacking any moment. What not can happen? In the midst of all this, number one, salah still won't be missed. In the midst of the battlefield, salah will not be missed. Can we imagine in the midst of a walima, salah gets missed? In the midst of some wedding, salah gets missed. Allah is saying, in the midst of the battlefield, bullets are flying, arrows are flying, but salah will not be missed. Now, how do we, where have we gone to? And how far we have shifted from where deen has commanded us to be? Number one, this will not get missed. But number two, it is understood and expected that in the midst of the battlefield, that level of concentration will be difficult as at other times when there isn't this kind of situation of war. So now they're excused from that. So therefore, the word iqamat is not mentioned here. Now what is the message in all this? Iqamatu salah is not just getting done with it, going through the motions. Now it's in the last moment of time, delayed it, for example, Maghrib salah, Asr salah. It's almost now time for Maghrib. Now last minute the person is rushing and then very hurriedly performing the salah and feeling content, now I completed it. Number one, when it becomes closer to Maghrib in the last, for example, 20-25 minutes, then as the sun starts becoming little bit, the intensity of the sun starts diminishing and the yellowness starts setting in, then it's makruh already. It's valid. If it hasn't yet been performed, it must be done still. But now there's a level of karahat. It's makruh to a point. And now that hurried manner of performing the salah, in one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described that as well. Like a hen pecking at its seeds. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described it as the salah of a munafiq. Just hurriedly, just head on the ground in haste and done. That's not the way of performing salah. So number one, salah must be given the highest priority. Everything else will wait. If it's salah time, that will be the highest priority. And the best is at the entry of time for the mothers and sisters, at the entry of time to calmly now get ready and perform the salah properly. At the latest, by the time the salah is taking place in the masjid, at that time now we've heard the azan, or we didn't hear the azan, but we know now it's time for salah, that the masjid now, by that time we should be done with our salah as well. Not delaying it beyond that. So number one, in good time, not in the last bit of time. Number two, properly, correctly, learning the sunnah postures of salah, how to perform the salah correctly. And it is the sunnah that enhances the quality of salah. Everything done in the way that is sunnah, that has to be learned. Yeah, mashallah, some good kitabs on the subject, the postures of females as well, how everything has to be done in the sunnah manner, that has to be learned, and to take care to ensure that we are performing the salah correctly, the tilawat in the salah is happening correctly with tajweed, etc. So this is the aspect Allah is saying, وَأَقِنَّ salah. So performing salah with its adab, with its etiquettes, in the correct manner, with its concentration that's required. وَآتِينَ الزَّكَاةِ and discharge the zakah, and give your zakah. Zakat is a pillar of Islam. This should be given due importance. It should not be like an afterthought. It should be with care. Many people, when it comes to the business people, when it comes to the time of their zakah, their annual financials have to be submitted to the revenue, they'll pay some consultant to make sure it's all correct, done right. They'll pay an accountant. Why? Because now if this is not done right, there'll be penalties. There'll be some problem, there'll be some queries, there'll be an issue. So now when people have tax returns for the makhluk, the tax returns are done very, very carefully, with care, pay people to get it done right. Now this is, we are giving to Allah Ta'ala. So now, we need to, this is based also on calculations. Like that also, there's calculations involved. This too is based on calculations. Now one is, if a person overpaid, alhamdulillah, they'll get the reward of sadaqah for what was in excess. But if it was short paid, because of haphazard calculation, because of not knowing the masail correctly, we overlooked certain things, then this is a major deficiency. Imagine a person performed 3 rakats zuhr. Now zuhr namaz, 3 rakats. He felt quite content, I made my zuhr. 3 rakats I made. Now, obviously zakat, whatever was discharged, will get discharged. But the short paid amount, it was a pillar of Islam. A pillar of Islam, some amount got neglected. That's a major problem. So we need to be sure, number one, that we are correctly calculating our zakat obligation. As mentioned, if a person is 100% sure that they have overpaid, they might have been liable for 5,000 rands in zakat and they gave 10,000. Alhamdulillah, that's not a problem. But to know, you should be acquainted with the masail of zakah. If something a person is liable for in deen, then there shouldn't be anything haphazard. Then give something extra by all means. But be conscious about what the masail of zakah are, so that we are acquainted with the masail of deen that are related to us. If zakah is compulsory, we should know the masail that pertain to us. Somebody has gold, jewelry, other items that on which zakat is compulsory. So they should know what are the masail that are related to it. Find out, ask, go for some classes to somebody who can teach us the masail of zakat. So we are conscious about it. It's part of deen. And this is knowledge of deen. So this knowledge is compulsory knowledge. And then number one, calculating the zakat liability correctly. and then ensuring it is given to those who are eligible, that is reaching the correct recipients, only then it will be discharged. And if we're doing it via somebody, then we have to give it to somebody reliable. Because till it doesn't reach the recipient, our obligation of zakat is not fulfilled. So in any case, Allah Ta'ala says, وَآتِينَ الزَّكَاةَ, and the zakah should be given wholeheartedly, should be given happily. Allah Ta'ala has allowed us to become payers of zakat. It could have been the other way around. Allah Ta'ala protect us. It could have been the other way around. But this is Allah Ta'ala's blessing, that Allah Ta'ala allowed us to be those who are able to fulfill this ibadat. And then apart from that, a time will come before Qiyamah, which is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif. Person will be going out looking for people to take the zakat, but nobody ready to take it. Person is saying, I'm looking for somebody to give my own zakat to. What am I going to take yours into? I'm not even eligible for it. By a feeble mal. In the Hadith Sharif, the wording comes that wealth will flow, meaning everybody will become so wealthy. Now people want to discharge this obligation of deen, they can't find anybody to do so. Imagine that it's an obligation, but there's no avenues to fulfill it. Now we have that opportunity, we should do it wholeheartedly, do it happily, and be grateful to Allah Ta'ala allowed us to do it. So, وَآتِينَ الزَّكَاةَ وَأَطِعْنَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, then Allah Ta'ala says it in a general way, encompassing everything, that be obedient to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obedience to Allah Ta'ala, all the commands of Allah Ta'ala, but the only way we will be able to correctly be obedient to Allah Ta'ala is through following the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To the extent that we follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to that extent we will be able to fulfill the command of obedience to Allah Ta'ala. Now in this regard, that the obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have to become very conscious about, that we don't fall into the trap of the ways of Yahud and Nasara. Otherwise these things creep in very, very subtly. But then the thing to be conscious about is, and to understand, that when the ways of the Yahud and Nasara come and creeps in, so what, it'll take the place of something. A person, for example, is going to be wearing something. Now, he's not going to be wearing two different things at the same time. It's going to be either or. So when something else comes in, something is going to get replaced. So what came in, if that what came in from the ways of the Yahud and Nasara, so what was there might have been closer to the Sunnah, that is going to go out. It's not going to be simultaneously two things. So now can we imagine what we taking in and what we letting out? Now, there are so many things that will have not even one dot of resemblance, let alone to the way of the Sahabiyat, but to the way of even, like for example, people who currently are in their maybe in their 40s, 30s, 40s, 50s. So it won't even resemble one dot of their own grandmothers, let alone the Sahabiyat. So now where did that came in from? It came from the Yahud and Nasara, obviously. So this is also the very crucial aspect here, that in obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we hold on to his Mubarak way and keep to that which is closer to haya, which is more conducive to the manner of deen, and that is not resembling the ways of Yahud and Nasara, because this doesn't just come, it's not just, for example, clothing. Clothing has a culture with it. For example, the jeans and t-shirt culture is not just the clothing. It brings a whole culture with it. And the culture of lack of haya, lack of any modesty and shame, when that kind of culture creeps in, for example, clothing, that culture will creep in the talking also. You'll find such a person not being able to, or not talking in the way of haya anymore. The kind of things that will be spoken about freely, the manner of speaking freely, that natural shyness that should be there, all that will be history. But now where it came from, where it stemmed from taking on one part, the aspect of, for example, dressing. When that came, the whole culture comes, and the culture of the Yahud and Nasara is devoid of haya, devoid of shame. So now it's not confined to just one, that's just this. No, it brings in a whole host of things with it. So in this aspect of وَأَطِعْنَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, we have to become very conscious of now avoiding the ways of the Yahud and Nasara in all things of life. And Allah forbid if things have crept in, we make an effort to reverse it, to keep our lives clean of it. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا وَذْكُرْنَ مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. Allah Ta'ala says, وَذْكُرْنَ مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. The crux of this is, recite the Quran Sharif in your homes and also discuss those aspects of hikmah, meaning what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given the Ummah. That remember this, discuss it, wadhkurn. Now this is the ta'lim, tilawat and ta'lim. Our home should be alive with tilawat of the Quran Sharif, with ta'lim and bringing alive the teachings of deen, the fazail, also the masail, the aspects of the adab, the akhlaq, the etiquettes. There are, mashallah, many, many kitabs in this regard. One is the fazail amal, that is a must, together with that, like for example, adabul muashara. Hazrat Ma'ashab Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh, there's a whole section of akhlaq in Beshti Zewar. These are all things to bring alive in our homes, so that this akhlaq of deen and all the teachings of deen come alive. And this is what's going to guarantee for us that happiness in every home, that good environment in the home, the obedience in the children, the good things that we are all desiring so much. But there's a process to bring it up. It doesn't just happen. That's not the way dunya happens. Allah has created a system. What you plant, that's what you reap. You plant roses, you'll get roses. You plant weeds, you'll get weeds. So now we have to make the effort to bring alive the teachings of deen in our homes, bring alive the ta'lim, the tilawat of the Quran Sharif. There should be time in our homes for zikr. Each one reciting istighfar, durud sharif, the third kalima. In our own times also is fine. But there should be daily, every person has a time for zikr in their homes. Whether it is after Fajr Salah, after Asr, whichever time. But no day should go past that there was no time for zikr, no time for tilawat, no time for talim. This is what will bring deen alive in our homes and bring all the barakat and blessings that we are so desirous of. This is what will make our lives very, very worthwhile. It will make it very productive. And this will pave our way to Jannat, inshallah, with the fazal of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. Allah ta'ala protect us from all the fitnas that are just engulfing people out there. Allah ta'ala save us and protect us, protect our families. Allah ta'ala make us among His special servants and keep us steadfast on iman till our last breath. Take us with perfect iman and raise us on the day of qiyamah with perfect iman. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka ash-shukru kulluhu. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم افتح لنا بالخير واختم لنا بالخير واجعل عواقب أمورنا بالخير بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم اغفر لأمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ارحم أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اهد وأصلح أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم فرج الكرب عن أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله